be liberty and the kingship of Christ. Man alone of the visible creation is endowed with the gift of liberty, by which Pope Leo XIII writes, quote, "He is in the hand of his council and has power over his actions, but the manner in which such dignity is exercised is of the greatest moment, inasmuch as on the use that is made of liberty, the highest good and the greatest evil alike depend. Man indeed is free to obey his reason, to seek moral good, and to strive unswervingly after his last end. Yet he is free also to turn aside to all other things, and in pursuing the empty semblance of good, to disturb rightful order, and to fall headlong into the destruction which he has voluntarily chosen. The Redeemer of mankind, Jesus Christ, having restored and exalted the original dignity of nature, vouchsafed special assistance to the will of man, and by the gifts of his grace here, and the promise of heavenly bliss hereafter, he raised it to a nobler state. In like manner, this great gift of nature has ever been and always will be deservingly cherished by the Catholic Church. For to her alone has been committed the charge of handing down to all ages the benefits purchased for us by Jesus Christ. Yet there are many who imagine that the Church is hostile to human liberty. Having a false and absurd notion as to what liberty is, either they pervert the very idea of freedom, or they extend it at their pleasure to many things in respect of which man cannot rightly be regarded as free." End of quote. On account of the false notions to which the Pope alludes, it will be well to explain the meaning of human liberty at some length. Personal liberty. Liberty, in a very wide sense, is the absence of determinateness. Now, this immunity from determinateness may be merely the absence of external compulsion, and this we see in any animal in a wild state, or even in a tame or trained animal, when not under the control of his master. An unyoked horse on a road or in a field is not under external control and is so far free, in the sense in which we are now speaking of freedom. But the animal does not enjoy and cannot have the endowment of internal liberty, that is to say, immunity from intrinsic determinateness. Man alone, as we have said, has this highest of natural gifts, in virtue of which his will exercises domination over his acts. Man, therefore, in contrast with the brute beast, can have not only external but internal liberty. Now the object of the will is presented to it by the intellect, which grasps the order of being, that is, the end of man, endowed as he is with supernatural life and the relations of means to an end. Accordingly, Pope Leo XIII says, quote, "The good wished by the will is necessarily good insofar as it is known by the intellect, and this the more because in all voluntary acts choice is subsequent to a judgment upon the truth of the good presented, declared to which good preference should be given." End of quote. Therefore, as liberty resides in the will, which is of its nature a faculty obedient to reason, it has for object, like the will, that good only which is in conformity to reason. Now, as it is not in accordance with order, or right reason, to turn one's back on the end to which one is destined, moral freedom, the freedom of man as a rational being, is the faculty of choosing means which lead to the end. This may be expressed in perhaps more familiar terms by saying that liberty is man's power of choosing what is right. It follows accordingly that the more perfectly a man's power of doing what is in order is developed, the freer he is. A being which has the power of willing good and evil is specifically superior to one which cannot will either good or evil, for such a being is free. But the being who can will only what is good is superior to one who can will both good and evil. The perfection of a being is measured by the perfection with which it tends to its end or possesses it, and the good is the exclusive end of every being. Pope Leo XIII writes, quote, "This subject is often discussed by the angelic doctor in his demonstration that the possibility of sinning is not freedom, but slavery. It will suffice to quote his subtle commentary on the words of our Lord, "Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin." Everything, he says, is that which belongs to it according to its nature. When, therefore, it acts through a power outside itself, it does not act of itself, but through another, that is, as a slave. But man is by nature rational. When, therefore, he acts according to reason, he acts of himself and according to his free will, and this is liberty. Whereas, when he sins, he acts in opposition to reason, is moved, as it were, by another, and is the victim of foreign or irrational conceptions. Therefore, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. Even the heathen philosophers clearly recognize this truth, especially they who held that the wise man alone is free. By the term wise man was meant, as is well known, the man trained to live in accordance with his nature, that is, in justice and virtue. End of quote. The end of the intelligence is truth, or the true. The end of the will is goodness, or the good. There is no such thing, then, as moral or rational liberty of error and evil, since it would turn these faculties away from their end. Some,